Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 28th of October, 2018. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we're continuing our series looking at some of Jesus's parables, and Alec Prale, one of our church members, will be looking at the parable of the lost coin. The reading is Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. The reading will be read by Jenny and then Alex will start the sermon.
The reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Just verses 8 to 10. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen.
Amen. Oh, that's loud. In this series, you've all heard the expression, I'm sure, "I've drawn the short straw." Well, I've drawn the short parable. Just three verses. And all of the other parables have got quite a lot more. Luke 15 contains, as you all are aware, we've been looking at them, three stories. That's all there is, just three stories. And all of the stories are about lost and found. The lost sheep, the lost coin today, and the lost son next week. And they're not the only stories that Jesus told about lost and found, and I want to read another one later on. He told stories about lost and found. He didn't only use some of the stories just once either. We know that, for instance, the story of the lost sheep, he used that at least twice, because it's recorded in Matthew in a completely different context as he's talking about children and each child being important. And John tells us, the end of his gospel, that Jesus did far more and said far more than we ever have recorded in the scriptures. And so we can be sure that Jesus again and again talked about lost and found, lost and found. There are some people who I think are more clever, or they think they're more clever than they really are. I read one particular thing where it says, of course, John puts it, or Luke puts it in a different context from what Matthew puts it in. And I think, no, he told the same story twice. I told a little story. There was a little service at the Active Living Centre this week, and I told a little story that I've told many times before. And Ivor, who was there, he said he heard that story at least 60 years ago in Denmark. The same story goes round and round and round, because if it's a good story, you use it many times. I've been preaching since I was 18, I'm 75. I've used some of my stories many times. And Jesus did. He was quite willing to use the same story again. And so when you read a story in, say, Matthew, and then you read it again in, say, Luke, and you think, oh, he's put it in a different place. No, he hasn't. He told the same story more than once. And basically, he said the same thing over and over again. And why did he say the same thing over and over again? I mean, these three parables, they all three say the same thing. Next week, particularly, has got more. There's a real sting at the end about the Pharisees, but the basic concept of these three parables are all the same. It's about the love of God for the lost. And last week the concentration was on the love of Jesus for the lost. Next week the concentration is on the love of the Father for the lost. And so this week it's being thought of as the love of the Holy Spirit for the lost. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God with a love for the lost, a desire to find the lost, a desire to welcome the lost. He said the same thing three times. Well, I remember being told once, when you're preaching, one way of preaching is you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, And then you tell them what you've told them. And that way it should get through. And I think to a certain extent, that's what Jesus was doing. He was telling them, then he was telling them, and then he was telling them to make sure that the story got through. But I think one of the reasons that Jesus was telling the same thing, in a sense, three times, was that he was stressing the importance of it. There is nothing more important in the whole of the Bible than God's love for the lost. God's desire to find the lost. God's desire to welcome the lost. This is the biggest and most important aspect of the whole Bible. It's the peak. It's the peak of the gospel. God so loved the world. And we all know the verse, you know, that he gave his son. That whoever believes, because we're all lost by nature, we're lost in sin. And Jesus was stressing the love of God for the lost. And I believe when Jesus told the same parable, in a sense, three times and used the same particular one more than once, he is stressing the fact that above all, this is his ministry. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry of the Father to reach the lost. A little bit further on in Luke's Gospel, in fact, I happen to be reading through Luke's Gospel in the mornings at the moment, and a little bit further on, there's the time when Jesus was with Zacchaeus, and the people are a bit sort of critical of him mixing with this disreputable character. I don't think he was that disreputable, really, if you read the details, but certainly he wasn't a very upright man. And Jesus said probably one of the most important things he ever said. He said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was what he came for. You read the Bible and you see that he healed the sick. Well, he's a God of love. He had the power. Of course he healed the sick. You read that on at least two occasions he fed the hungry. He saw people in need. He had the ability to meet the need. So of course he met the need. We read that he taught about being generous and he taught about being kind, and he was generous and he was kind. But folks, they are side issues to the main point and purpose of God and the main point of purpose of Jesus coming. It was to seek and to save the lost. And so Jesus tells the same thing over and over again, because that's what it's all about. That's what the Christian gospel is all about, seeking and saving the lost. And who are the lost? Well, I was. I know the name of the sheep, the name of the coin, the name of the lost son, called Alec Prale. But that's where I was. And that's where every one of us is by nature. We're lost because of our sin and because of the fact that we've fallen short of God's standards and God's glory. But secondly, I believe that Jesus told the same thing three times because he knew the kind of people he was talking to. Sometimes when I'm reading the Bible and reading the Gospels, I sort of want to say to the disciples sometimes and the people sometimes, are you thick or something? Sometimes Jesus seems to say the most straightforward things and they don't get it. You remember on one occasion he was talking, he mentioned the yeast of the Pharisees. They only heard the word yeast and they thought, he's having a go at us because we haven't bought any bread. How on earth did they think talking about the yeast of the Pharisees meant they hadn't brought any bread? And then he starts telling them at one time about what's going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem. You know, he's going to be handed over, he's going to be crucified, he's going to be killed, he's going to rise from the dead. And it says they didn't understand. And I read it and I think, what do you mean you didn't understand? And then when they do understand, Peter says, that's not going to happen to you. And I think, are you thick or something? And I think if Peter could answer me, he'd say, yes, we were a bit thick, just like you. Just like you. How many times did I hear the gospel before it got through to there and through to there? I don't know. But there aren't many people who hear the gospel once and accept Jesus as Saviour and Lord. So Jesus has to say the same thing over and over again. And the Lord has to say sometimes the same things over and over again. And I know there are some preachers who will preach the same sermon over and over again until they're sure the congregation's got it. In fact, I was so thick that one Sunday night after the evening service and the gospel had been plainly preached, I went home, got down on my knees beside my bed, asked the Lord to forgive my sin and to accept me as his child. And I was daft enough to do the same thing 3 or 4 weeks in a row before it got through my head that it actually happened the first time. Sometimes, folks, we just need to hear the same thing over and over again until it gets in. And so if sometimes the sermons are repetitions and sometimes the Bible's repetitious. In the group that I'm part of, on a little group on a Thursday morning, we were looking in the Minor Prophets recently. And there's a phrase in the Minor Prophets, "The just shall live by faith." And it's 3 more times, it's there in the New Testament. 4 times. You know, when God says something, we should take notice of it. If he says it twice, we should really take notice. If he says it 3 times, if he says the same thing 4 times, we're meant to take notice. The just or the justified or the righteous will live by faith. So the Lord repeats things. We need repetition to get the message over. We need repetition to remember that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. But there's another reason why there's the 3 stories here. And this is the reason why this one's been given the title, The Love of the Holy Spirit. Because this desire to reach the lost is a 3-fold desire, as it was last week. The shepherd, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." So when the story is about the good shepherd hunting for that little lost lamb or little lost sheep, it's a story about Jesus who came to seek and to save the lost. When you get to the 3rd one, it's the Father and the Father's heart as the Father longs for the lost son to come home. And so it's been suggested that the title for today is The Love of the Holy Spirit. And so the woman is representing the Holy Spirit. In fact, I must admit, for all the years I've been a Christian, I'd never even actually twigged it before. One's about the Son, Jesus. One's about the Father. So logically, the other one's about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a love for the lost. The Holy Spirit's main purpose in life is to convict and to draw and to bring the lost to himself. And I thought, well, does that mean the Holy Spirit's feminine? Because it's a woman, isn't it? I thought, no, I don't think of the Holy Spirit as feminine. Do you? I don't particularly think of the Holy Spirit as masculine either. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. But then I thought, what is the main way in which the Holy Spirit works? Through the church. The disciples on the day of Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately following on from that, they glorified God and they presented the gospel. And right from the beginning, they preached Jesus and they preached the message of repentance and faith. The main message of the Holy Spirit comes through the people of God. And who are the people of God? The Church of Jesus Christ. And what is the Church of Jesus Christ? It is the bride of Jesus Christ. So maybe I'm stretching it a little bit. But the woman doing the seeking is the Holy Spirit working through the Church of Jesus Christ. Now please don't assume that he can never work without working through God's people. But we all know the main way in which the Holy Spirit works is he works through the people of God. It is your witness. It is the way you live. It is things that you're able to say. It's things that you're able to pray. It's things that you're able to write. It's things that God inspires you to do. That's the Holy Spirit using you to reach other people. The Holy Spirit is at work in his church and through his church to draw the lost. And the reality is that the priority of the church must always be seeking the lost. As I said earlier, Jesus healed the sick, and he said of the church that they should lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And Christians have been involved in miraculous and using the gifts of the Spirit. Christians have been involved in medical missions and medical work. The whole work of the hospice movement started through Christians. Tremendous amount of medical work has been done through Christians. That's right. That's proper. We should be doing that because we're meant to do what Jesus did. It is good that the church gets involved in feeding the hungry, whether it be through food banks in our own country or sending money abroad or sending things abroad. It's good that the church gets involved in feeding the hungry because we're Jesus' representatives on earth. It's good that the church should put into practice the teachings about generosity, the teachings about love and care and compassion. The church should do all of those things to the best of its ability through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. But we must never get away from the fact that the main thing must be the main thing. And the main thing, Jesus did not say, I came to earth to feed the hungry. He did not say, I came to earth to heal the sick. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And although Jesus went on to say that of his people that they would lay hands on the sick and they should recover, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. When the church, when any church becomes a social gospel without the power of the real gospel, it misses the point. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You see, folks, if someone is in terrible physical need, and either through medical means or the laying on of hands, that person is miraculously and wonderfully healed, if they're 30 at the time, how long is that going to last for? If they live to be 90, hallelujah, that's 60 years of good health that they wouldn't have had. But if at the age of 30 they accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that's not going to last 60 years. In 60 billion years' time, it'll still be going. It's forever. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and salvation is eternal. We should care about people's here and now. We should care about people's needs. We should care about people's problems. We should care about the physical needs and the mental needs and the emotional needs, etc., etc. And the church should be doing something about those things. But above all, we are given the responsibility, empowered by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. People need to know the Lord as Savior. People don't like to use the words very often these days, but Jesus had a lot to say about heaven, but folks, he had a heck of a lot to say about hell. There is a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun, there's a hell to avoid. He came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, and that's our job. Healing, yes. Feeding, yes. Caring, yes. All those things. But number one, if number one ever ceases to be number one, we're missing the point and purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit loves the lost. The Holy Spirit seeks the lost. And if anybody here this morning has not yet come to accept Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, has never yet come to that point of saying, Lord, I know I need your forgiveness. I know that Jesus paid the price for me. And you're beginning to get the message. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And even this morning, you can receive Jesus as Saviour and Lord. But I want to go on just for a few minutes and talk about the coin. This is the story of a woman who's hunting for a coin, a silver coin. Now, if you think about silver coins, what do you think about? 5p? The most you're going to think about in our own currency is 50p. Okay, so this woman, she's got 10 pounds and she loses, she's got 5 pounds and she loses 50p. That's no big deal, is it? If you look at the footnote in the, if you've got a Bible with a footnote, it says that the common silver coin of that time was a day's wages. Average wage in this country, you're talking about at least £100. She hasn't lost 5p or 50p, she's lost at least £100. That's worth looking for. I read in one commentary, I have no idea because I wasn't around at the time, but I read in one commentary that it was quite common for ladies in those days, the richer ladies, to have jewellery that was made of coins. And it would be very special if you had 10 coins, 10 of these silver coins on a piece of jewellery. If you lost one of those, it would be a bit like losing a diamond out of one of your rings. Maybe that's what would have come to the people's minds. We don't know. But definitely Jesus is talking about something of value that's been lost. He's not talking about, you know, an odd bit of change that's been lost. He's talking about something which is of value that has been lost. And the reality is, what Jesus is telling us is that every individual is valuable. Every individual is valuable. I want to tell you this morning, you are valuable to God. Very, very valuable to God. You see, last week, Simon emphasized that each one matters. Today, I want to emphasize that each one is valuable. You are valuable. You are precious to the Lord. I just want to read another parable. It's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. It's a story of someone seeking for something. Seeking for something. It's the same story again, isn't it? It's someone seeking for something. But they were seeking and they found a pearl of great value. And the one who was doing the seeking gave up everything they had in order to possess that pearl. Now, the hymn book I used to use, there was a hymn in there, said, I found the pearl of greatest price. There's another modern song says, talking about Jesus as being the pearl of greatest price. I'm not quite sure how anyone can make that out. You see, the person doing the seeking gave up absolutely everything in order to own that pearl. Folks, I did not give up absolutely everything in order to have Jesus. He gave up absolutely everything in order to have me, in order to have you. He gave up the glory and the splendor of heaven. He gave up even the little bit that he had in this world. They even stripped him of his clothes and hung him on a cross. He gave up everything. In fact, while he was hanging on the cross, he even gave up his relationship with the Father. because he became sin for us, and God cannot bear to look upon sin. And the agonizing cry of the cross is, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the extent to which Jesus gave up everything for you, for me. How valuable are you this morning? Have a look around. Anybody here more valuable than you? Anybody here more valuable than you? I tell you, there isn't. There isn't a person in this place more valuable than you. There's not a person in this place more valuable than every single one of you. Because you are that lost coin that the Holy Spirit drew to himself, or is still drawing to himself. You are that precious pearl that he gave up everything for. You are valuable. You are precious in his sight. Absolutely precious. Some people suffer from a lack of self-esteem and self-worth. To a certain extent, if it's not too extreme, that's no bad thing, because folks, we're not worth much really, are we? In fact, I think the scientists can boil us all down and tell us we're only worth a few pounds each, if that. That's all you're worth. There's a little bit of this chemical, a little bit of that chemical. You're not worth much. But I'll tell you what you're worth. You're worth the Son of God giving up everything and hanging on the cross for. You're worth the Holy Spirit moving and working into your life and drawing you. You're worth that. You're worth a Father looking and looking and looking and longing for you to come to himself. That's what you're worth. You are precious. I hope every one of you is precious to somebody else. Precious to your wife, precious to your husband, your children, your parents, whatever. But the person who values you most is God. He made you. Come on, he put you together in your mother's womb. He made you. He loves you. And he wants you to be his. And the Holy Spirit is at work and will continue to work. Jesus said, I will build my church. And how does he do it? He does it through his church, through the work of his Holy Spirit. I've heard the story, and I have already used this once in the group. There's a story that says that when Jesus got back to heaven, one of the angels said, well, who's going to continue your work? And the angel said, Jesus said, my people are. And the angel said, what if they fail? And Jesus said, I have no other plan. I have no other plan. God's plan is by his Holy Spirit to use his people to reach the lost. And so, really this morning I've got two main points. The Holy Spirit is at work seeking the lost, and he uses his church. The Holy Spirit has a love for the lost, and he uses his church. And the other thing I want to stress to you this morning is, you are precious to God. God loves you far more than any human being will ever love you. God gave far more for you than anyone could ever possibly give for you. Let's keep the main thing, lost and found. And if anyone this morning is, I'm not too sure if I've come to know the Lord yet, in some ways it's very simple. You admit you need forgiveness. You ask for it. You believe that Jesus paid the price, and you accept it. And there'll be people in the corner this morning who maybe would pray with you or help you. Or if you've got some other need, we do still believe in praying for the sick, and we still do believe in other things. But let's remember this morning. The Son, Jesus the Son, what's his desire? Reaching and saving the lost. The Father God, what's his desire? reaching and welcoming back the lost. The Holy Spirit, what's his desire? To save, to find the lost. That was you. That was me. And if it still is, come on, this morning, why not accept Jesus, Lord and Saviour, who thinks you are precious? Other people might think you're a bit of a nobody. Actually, I was listening to a sermon last night, which we recorded last Sunday morning. It said, in the Church of Jesus Christ, everybody is a somebody. Everybody is a somebody. This morning, you're a somebody that the Holy Spirit sought and brought to himself and is willing to bring yet more. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the love. Lord, the old hymn, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. We thank you, Jesus gave up everything for us. We thank you, God, the Father, that you want to welcome us and accept us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're seeking and saving through your people, through your church, through the moving of your Holy Spirit. Help each one here this morning to realize how valuable they are in your sight. And for any who do not yet know you as Saviour and Lord, help them to realize how much you want them, how willing you are to forgive them, how the wonder of being yours leads to a relationship with you and a glorious eternity. Lord, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, you can go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.